Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Paul and his missionary journeys. We thank you for this morning and for the mission and the heart for missions that you have placed in this congregation in Prince of Peace. Pray that you would bless your word as I share it today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was meaning to have a picture of the family. Usually I call them up here. If you look in your bulletin, the insert does have a small picture of our family in there. My wife, Patricia, and then the four kids, Nathaniel, Hannah, Joshua, and Isaac. As we, where'd my notes go? It's in the back. I saw it this morning. Maybe it's in my bulletin. There it is. Lewis Carroll is credited for saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Well, in Ecuador, there's roads, but the people really relate with buses. Great public transportation system. And as we think about missions, and talk about missions today, I want to see, what is the goal of missions? Of missions in Ecuador? Of missions here in Beulah, at Prince of Peace? And at missions in your own lives, and in your own neighborhood, your own friends? When I talk to the youth group in Ecuador, I like telling them, if you don't know where you're going, any bus will take you there. I think this is what you'd call a basket case. I couldn't figure out why the traffic was stopped, and I got out, and it was too good not to snap a picture. But I've also noticed, if you don't know how you want to go, you could be in for a long trip. If you don't know how you want to go, you might take the long route. What is the goal of missions? And where is Prince of Peace going with missions? What is the goal? As we think about goals, there's also the steps to reach the goals. And both are important. We first need to define where we want to go, and then we define how we're getting there. And there's danger in overemphasizing the goal or overemphasizing the steps. You can get so caught up in the steps that you forgot, oh, this is where we're actually trying to go. You can get so caught up in the trip, you forget what the destination is. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said, Apollos planted, I watered. I think that's the right way around. But God gave the growth. And the many steps that play into missions. As we talk about the goal of missions today, I'm going to have four steps. I kind of have trouble limiting it to four, but for today's purposes, we'll talk about four important steps for missions, and also, but missions focused on the local congregation. Missions, in the AFLC, in its fundamental principles, it says, it's called, it states there that according to the Word of God, the congregation is the right form of the kingdom of God on earth. So God's kingdom grows, and God's kingdom here on earth is the local congregation. The right form is the local congregation. Missions must come and be centered on the local congregation, on your congregation here. So what does that look like? I've got some pictures and examples of what it looks like for us and our ministry in Ecuador. But I want you, as we go through, to be making your own slideshow, if you want to call it that. What does missions look like for you? And how can you be a part? How can you be a part of each of these steps? The steps of missions. My background, a little bit, I grew up overseas in Ecuador. My parents were missionaries till I was about 9. Helped me with language, learning the Spanish language as a kid. And then when I was 9, came back. My dad was a lay pastor in the FLC, served a number of congregations. And then I studied, industrial automation. Electrical engineering and computer programming is kind of my background. And we're lay missionaries as well. I am not a graduate from a seminary. We are lay missionaries. My wife is from Texas and attended an AFLC church down there. They're a little more few and far between in Texas. Let's look at go. In Mark 16, well-known mission verse says, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. What does going look like? We see in the text Garrett read for us in Acts, we see about Paul and his journey, his going. It talks about how they were at this place and that place, and then they went on to the next place, and going. This is what going looked for us. That's Nathaniel about 5 years ago, and us leaving for the mission field. This was us coming back. You can see Trisha on the far right. We also had Janaea, a short-term assistant. She's kind of in the middle. And some people from the church sending us back on furlough. Travel involved in missions. Maybe it's obvious in the going, but missions in your life will probably involve going as well. It also involves some discomfort. Here are the kids, all four of them, trying to sleep at 11 o'clock at night in the airport. It didn't work very well. It was too exciting, seeing the airplanes and knowing we were getting on one. And going also in discomfort. This was a men's retreat. There's my four-wheel drive pickup and a landslide. We were stopped there for about an hour. That bus is stuck. And just to the left of that bus is a river. So we'd had to drive between the bus and that drop-off very carefully. Going usually involves some discomfort. Going also involves new experiences. Here's Jordan eyeing out lunch. And this is kind of like a guinea pig farm, a small guinea pig farm. And guinea pigs are one of the meats that they like to eat in our city. New experiences. This is my wife at the market. Every Thursday we go to the market, the outdoor market, to pick up our fruits and vegetables mainly. New experiences as you go. This is a corner convenience store and hat factory and other things, I'm sure. Going. Going involves new experiences, also involves change, and change in our lives, and being willing to accept that change and embrace it. In Mark, it says, go and preach. I'm going to run through the first steps here a little quickly, but preaching. As we think about missions and a congregation-centered missions, God's kingdom here revolves around the local congregation, but missions does as well. And important to remember that when missionaries first arrive into a new place, there's no congregation. There's no believers. And so the preaching is important. Then the going, and then the preaching to begin forming that new congregation. What are we preaching? And it's the Word of God, the good news of salvation and the cross. This is what our pastoral team, well, part of it in Ecuador looks like. This is the main pastor and his wife. There's also an assistant pastor at the church we're part of. We are a little unique in that I'm not the main pastor at the church. The church in Ecuador called us to assist, kind of be like parish workers and work alongside the congregation and the pastors that are already in place. This is what church looks like on, this is actually a Christmas program, but a typical Sunday. It's about 200 to 250 people on a Sunday. This was I was doing some translating for a mission team from the Bible school. This is preaching at a church camp, sharing and teaching at a church camp. There's the camp. It's all sand, this one, because it's on the beach. And it's really nice as you go to sleep. You can hear the waves pounding on the beach in the time of fellowship. Preaching can take various different ways. It can look like a pulpit, but it's also in camps and other opportunities. This is another church camp as well. Preaching and then strengthening. If you have your Bibles, and I invite you to open back up to Acts 14. Acts 14, and in verse 21, we see Paul, and when they had preached, point number two there, the gospel to that city, and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And then if we go down to 22, what were they doing? Look at here. It says, strengthening the souls of the disciples. We see first going, then preaching, then we have the congregation that forms, and then the strengthening of the local congregation, the maturing, the helping them grow in their faith. This is one of our ministries the last couple years has been working with young couples group. And this would be like a Bible study. They'll meet once a week. Formally, we'll have a once a week on Tuesdays. And a lot of these young people were in the youth group 7 years ago when I was more involved in the youth ministry. And now they are married and having families. And we will cover themes like marriage themes, child raising, how to discipline, various different topics in strengthening and maturing. This is after church on Sunday. We invited everyone out, bring sandwiches. I should say we brought sandwiches. They probably brought rice and chicken, if I recall. Sandwiches aren't very popular. The Ecuadorians tease me about my sandwiches. They would much rather have a pot of rice and chicken. In Titus, Paul writing to his disciple, the young pastor, Titus, in verse 5, it says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you may set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." That setting in order, that strengthening, that appointing elders and leadership, the strengthening of the church. Sometimes Trisha will take them out and do a girl's outing with them and get their nails done. Building those relationships, encouraging, discipling these young couples. Also, I'll be involved in youth ministry, kind of an assisting. I don't know if that does pointer work. Doesn't look like it does. One of the youth who has graduated from college now and is back being involved in the church took over the youth ministry, and I went to the young couples ministry. So he'll sometimes invite me along with our vehicle and hiking with the youth. Here we are in the highest mountain. Well, we didn't make the top, obviously. In Ecuador, we're probably about 15,500 at this point. The strengthening of the congregation. This was a men's retreat. Remember the trucks that got stuck? This is where we finally made it after we got it unstuck. And a men's retreat in the jungle. I'll just say, getting trucks out of mud is a good bonding experience for men. It was a great experience. None of them will forget it. We laugh about it many times since. And the women probably wouldn't have appreciated it as much. Some more youth ministry. Those are Inca ruins. Also been involved in some homeschooling. The church has asked us to help with some homeschool families. And they have seen this as an opportunity, the parents have, to disciple their children and to strengthen them in their faith. And so there's about 4 or 5 families in the church who are homeschooling. And so we will not so much teach in the homes, but we will encourage and help them and facilitate the parents as they teach their children. Here we're studying volcanic rocks. And you can see that crack. Hot water just bubbles up through that crack. Yeah, it's close to the city where we are. Lastly, we're working on completing the circle here. And lastly, in Ephesians, we talked about equipping, building up, edifying. And God appoints, gives various giftings in the congregation. Teachers, apostles, preachers. For what? For the equipping, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But it went for a purpose. That go, preach, strengthen, and then equip to go. The goal of missions isn't just to set up to start a new congregation in another place, in another country, another city, maybe it's another neighborhood. But the ultimate goal is to set up another congregation, to grow another congregation so that they can be ascending congregation and repeat the circle. This is the Aletheia Bible School. It means truth. A lot of the young people in our church, it's very difficult and expensive for them to come here to a Bible school or any other education. So the church began a Bible school, a one-year Bible school. And I will teach there. Last year was once a week. I think this coming year I'll be there twice a week teaching at the Bible school. Here's the graduating class. The equipping. This is Andrew, and this probably about 7 or 8 years ago. He was in high school, and I invited him along to the jungles and kind of discipling, mentoring him as we shared and flew into different villages and shared. How long ago was this? I keep losing track. About 4 years ago, he married a godly wife, and now they have one, and I just saw on Facebook, two daughters. And this couple is praying and preparing to go from the church as missionaries. As we talk about this fourth step, I would probably say this is our main focus of our ministry. The others have planted, watered, God's given growth, and the church is wanting and needing and wanting to send out its missionaries and starting new congregations. And so we're just excited, so excited and thankful for the work of others in the past, in the first steps, and now that we can be involved in the congregation in Ecuador to equip to go and to prepare these young families, these young couples, to go as missionaries. We've had a couple short-term missionaries. This is Isabel, and she taught Spanish in China for 4 or 5 years. And just recently, since we've been back in the States, Gabby returned from Pakistan. She was there for 2 years as a medical doctor. Because of the culture there, women have a lot harder time getting medical help. So she went there specifically to focus, as a woman, to focus on the medical needs in Pakistan. Completing the circle of missions. The going, the preaching, strengthening, and equipping. And in Acts 14, I'm going to close with this verse in 14, verse 26. And in 14:26, it says, from there, Paul and his group sailed to Antioch. They kind of returned home, back to their home base, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Paul and his ministry revolves around grace. And missions, our ministry in Ecuador, especially focusing on that last step of equipping, it revolves around God's grace. And don't forget, the ministry of missions here at Prince of Peace must revolve around God's grace. Grace is an interesting thing. We think of it as God's riches at Christ's expense, some people like to say. Ephesians 1:7 kind of goes like that, that grace that saves us. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God's grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, Paul also says in Ephesians, is what saves us. But God's grace doesn't stop there. God's grace is for each of us as believers as well. And Paul says that so clearly in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul again says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Grace is essential in salvation, but grace is just as important in that sanctification, in that growing, strengthening, and equipping in our lives and in our church. Paul accomplished his missionary journeys by God's grace. God's grace is what saves us, but also motivates and is the reason for missions. And that's the exciting part, that missions isn't done on our own strength. Missions is done by God's strength. And grace in the going, grace in the preaching, grace in the strengthening, and yes, grace in the equipping. This is our, backed up. Is there a back button here, Jordan? There we go. Thanks. This is our commissioning service. being sent out by God's grace. And we're so thankful for your part as a church and the ministry in Ecuador. Some of you have visited. I see Chris here. And Jordan, obviously, too. And for the gifts and encouragement, I also remember the quilts that we received and the huge blessing that those have been. Where it's interesting, Ecuador, it gets its name from equator, and everyone thinks hot and warm. But when you're at 8,500 feet, it's not too hot. And it actually gets down into the 30s and 40s at night. So I know we are using one of the quilts on our bed right now in Ecuador. And just so thankful for your part in the work, in the Lord's work in that country. Encourage you, have a table back set up. We have lots of kids. We're into kids' things. We brought a lot of toys that people use, that the children use in Ecuador. Some of them are more classic toys from years past. So stop and look at that. Maybe Nathaniel can show you how they work. And also encourage you to sign up. There's a prayer card with their family's picture on it. There's also a sign-up sheet. And leave your email or mailing address, and we can send you updates on the ministry. If you leave your phone number, your cell phone number, we'll also send you text. We can also send you text prayer requests. We can send prayer requests to your cell phone. They arrive, and you can read them on any kind of cell phone that'll receive text messages too. So just encourage you to be able to connect. We'll be back there, and we can visit some more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your grace in our lives and your grace and your working in the church in Ecuador, Paz de Dios, and we thank you for your grace here at Prince of Peace. Lord, I pray that your grace would continue to work in our lives, that we would be challenged, and that we would look and see how we can be involved in each of these steps of missions. Pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.